Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After days of volatile protests in Los Angeles over federal immigration arrests, President Trump is defending his decision to mobilize National Guard troops, saying the protesters are professional agitators. California's Governor Gavin Newsom says the president did not have his approval to deploy the National Guard in the state and overstepped his authority. He's now planning to sue. More protests planned for today. ABC's Catherine Falder says the president also appears to support his border czar for more arrests.
All I have really seen Tom Homan and say is that he believes that Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass, if you will, crossed the line in terms of how, in the Trump administration's mind, they have reacted to these protests in L.A.
In California, the search for six people on board a plane that crashed near Point Loma in California yesterday continues. FAA records show the plane was registered to Optimal Health Systems. That company, in a statement, is sending condolences to family members. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Gas prices are continuing their downward trend, Melissa Kay reports.
Gas prices fell slightly over the last week, dropping 1.7 cents to land at $2.95 today. This is 3 cents higher than a month ago and over 27 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. We aren't the only state where prices declined. Officials at GasBuddy say refineries have ramped up output and gasoline supplies surged. There is an overall gentle downward trend across the country as summer progresses. Officials say if oil prices continue their gradual rise, gas prices could be impacted, but we shouldn't see any major shift in the week ahead.
According to GasBuddy, the average price for a gallon of gas in Green Bay and in Appleton is $2.90. Three candidates have thrown their hats in the ring for the Green Bay City Council seat left vacant when Chris Weary of District 8 resigned for family health reasons. Weary is moving out of the district. So Jim Ritterbush, who ran against Weary for the seat in 2024, has applied. So has Brown County Board of Supervisors member Megan Borchardt and Mark Anderson. These three will present themselves to and answer questions from the City Council during its meeting Tuesday. The Council will then vote on a replacement for who will serve until the spring 2026 election. The Menominee Police Department confirms that a body pulled from the waters of Door County last Wednesday near Little Strawberry Island was that of Lisa Janine Pipp of Greendale, Wisconsin. Pip, 42, was reported missing in January when she walked away from a vehicle on the ice of Green Bay during an argument. Preliminary autopsy findings show no indication of foul play. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddie Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through six innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
NFL. The Packers have decided to release defensive back Jair Alexander. The team asking Alexander to take a pay cut, in part because he's missed half the games the last two seasons. The defensive back was scheduled to make $17 million this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and cool today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-60s and breezy winds out of the west and showers and some storms sparking up this afternoon. Otherwise, tomorrow, a high-pressure system moves in, giving us plenty of sunshine and warmer temperatures in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 60 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
On Tuesday's show, we'll welcome New Leaf Foods to talk about the upcoming Climate, Food, and Policy Roundtable event. Plus, we'll chat with author Spike Peterson.
Then we'll catch up with Jason Matsmith from the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake.
Join us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. I'm Todd Alba, along with our host, our producer, engineer, Aaron Zomers on the board. It is Monday, June 9th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, even if you have allergies like myself. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Zomers, I thought the allergies were getting better, and then we went for a short walk for a little coffee before the show, and now I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah, Todd was fine before we went outside. And now he has, as guest co-host, several frogs from his throat.
You may end up having to host the show if the voice doesn't stick with it. But I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I feel like I'm on the mend. It was a great weekend. I was back in the RC this weekend for the 78th Betty Hayes dance recital and also Holly Miller's dance recital. We'll talk about that. Then I went down to Milwaukee to the Brewers game yesterday. Wow, what a pitcher's duel. The Brewers came out in the short end, lost 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. We'll talk about both of our weekends a little bit later, probably in hour two here. Big show on tap at the bottom of the hour. State Senator Kelda Royce from the 26th District here in the city of Madison, also a member of the Joint Finance Committee, will be here in studio, assuming that her schedule frees up all right. She will update us on what's happening in the Joint Finance just a block away from us at the state capitol. Now that budget negotiations seemingly have broken down between the governor and her and the Joint Finance Committee, what is up next? She will talk about that. And also we're going to perhaps talk a little bit about, in a Wisconsin context, about what's the big story of the weekend out in Los Angeles of the protests, some of which turned violent. What all that means moving forward for the state of Wisconsin, potentially. We'll kind of break that down and talk about that. The Democrats nationally in a bit of a pickle. Why is my least favorite Martin, the chair of the Democratic National Committee, why is he sniveling inside of a hotel ballroom in suburban Washington, D.C., kowtowing to David Hogg? We've got some audio courtesy of Politico over the weekend. Not going to want to miss that. And what's worse for you in hour two, forgetting a birthday or forgetting an anniversary? We'll talk about all that. But in just a moment, we're going to have our friend and colleague, the general manager at WRCO in Richland Center, join us. Some big news in terms of not just the sports world, but I think Wisconsin culture as a whole. Long time basketball coach at Cuba City, Jerry Pettigrew, the winningest coach in Wisconsin high school basketball history, died over the weekend. He was 84. Phil Nee's going to be here in just a moment to share some of his remembrances as he interviewed Coach Pettigrew a number of times over the years, worked with him a lot, So Phil's going to join us via phone from Michelin Center in just a moment. But first of all, Zommers, we are in week two here. Time once again for the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Let's go. And it's two bad feet on the dashboard. Your love and an old Ford. Cheap shades and a tattoo and a yoo-hoo. Bottle on the floorboard. Perfect song on the radio. Sing along, cause it's one we know. It's a smile. It's a kiss. It's a sip of wine. Kenny Chesney to start us off on a Monday, June 9th. Time once again for Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. I think Phil's on the phone. Let's bring him in because this could only help our chances of getting people to call in live from Michelin Center, our friend Phil Nee. Phil, how are you?
I am doing well. Thanks for asking me to be on the show.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and you did it on short notice. We're going to talk about the passive Coach Pettigrew in a minute. We got to do this Text to Win contest. Now, you've been doing it on the music stations as well, correct?
Yes, I have. It's been going very well.
Well, that's fantastic. And up this hour on here on this show, we are giving away a pair of Milwaukee Brewer tickets at AmFam Field. I was there yesterday. Phil, you and I took in a game last year. We got to do that again this year. They're beautiful seats, right? I mean, you can't beat these seats.
Oh, they are absolutely gorgeous. You can see everything, and they take good care of you where you're sitting as well.
Phil particularly enjoyed it when they came out and gave him a foot massage in the seventh inning.
I don't remember that. I must have fallen asleep.
Or had a couple too many beers.
Maybe that didn't happen, but no, they're absolutely great seats. So we're giving away a pair of Milwaukee Brewer tickets right now in this hour. You have to text in this hour. Other shows, other days, we give away a crisp $100 bill, and everybody who texts in this hour will be eligible to win one of two fantastic grand prizes, either a Baraboo Dells area vacation or a beautiful Door County getaway vacation, each with a gas card to get you there and back. If you want to know specifically where, we're not allowed to tell you. The attorneys have forbid us. But you can go on to the Civic Media website and find out. Civicmedia.us is where you can find all the details of those grand prizes. All right.
And you know the best part of the contest?
It's a statewide contest.
It sure is.
That's the beauty of it, Phil. It's not just here in Madison. It's out in the old hometown where you're at in Richland Center.
Absolutely. All over the state, which makes it even more prestigious when you win.
Exactly right. It's from this big pool of people. All right. Download the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, go to your favorite device, Apple or Android, to the App Store. Type in Civic Media. It pops up. It's free. Takes less than a minute. Open it up. The first 12 stations are where you will find us, and you can play with Phil. When do you do yours, Phil? In the morning?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Same time as everybody, 9, 11.
All right, 9 o'clock.
And you guys do it 2 and 4 in the afternoon.
All right, well, you can listen to Phil.
Or I think 7, 11, 2, and 4.
What?
Oh, for some.
What did I say?
Well, for some of the talk ones, it's 7. Do you guys do one at 7?
Yeah, we actually do. I'm sorry.
All right,
I don't even know what day it is.
Well, usually Phil's in bed, but he's up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're disrupting his sleep, quite frankly.
Hey, I'm usually in bed. I'm in bed by this time, too. I take my nap.
Exactly right. So you can you can always listen to Phil on the Civic Media app and find him at WRCO. So make sure you do that. All right, so here we go. Go to the first 11 stations for this hour. That's where you'll find this show. Open it up at the lower right-hand corner. It says text, T-E-X-T, text. Click on that, and we're going to give you the word right now. The word this hour is fire, F-I-R-E. The word is fire. Don't get caught watching a fire. I don't know. If you play with matches, you're going to get burned because you started a fire. F-I-F-I-R-E. The word is fire. You have until 3 o'clock to text us. So text right now the word fire, F-I-R-E, and you too will be eligible to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewer tickets and eligible for those great grand prizes. Phil, I really appreciate you coming on today on short notice because I saw the news early this morning that the winningest coach in Wisconsin high school basketball history, Jerry Pettigrew, passed away over the weekend. He was 84. As someone who has called a lot of games over the years and had the pleasure and honor to work with him, what was your first thought when you heard the news?
Well, I was really saddened. Certainly, we lost a legend. 60 years of coaching, get this, his lifetime record, 1,027 and 249 losses is all. So it's just amazing. One of only about 20 coaches nationally known to have reached the 1,000-win plateau. But moreover, just such a wealth of knowledge, and he was always very helpful to young coaches, but very helpful to young broadcasters like me, and I'm not so young anymore, but when I first started out, so they won, Cuba City won the State Boys Championship in 1991, mm-hmm. and I went down to the press room afterwards. It was in the old field house, and I had covered him four times because two of the teams that we cover here for WRCO played his teams in league games twice a year. Mm-hmm. So he knew me, and afterwards they said, okay, we'll break it down. If anybody wants some individual interviews with Coach Pettigrew, step forward. Well, all the Madison TV stations are there and lots of radio stations. And he looked out in the crowd and he said, I'll talk to Phil first. He covered us all year long. So,
wow.
You know, and as a young guy, it was like, wow. And so I got past all these cameras with my little Panasonic cassette recorder to go up and interview Coach Pettigrew.
I think that's a great story. I appreciate you sharing it because, you know, that's the kind of person he was. He remembered who was there for them and their team, a little tiny school in southwest Wisconsin, which is closer to Dubuque than any major city in the state of Wisconsin.
That is correct. I have a trivia question for you and Mr. Zommers and your statewide number two. Can anybody tell us why Coach Pettigrew's first high school basketball game as a coach was canceled?
Boy, why his first high school game was canceled?
I have no idea. I'm going to throw a wild guess out there. His appendix burst.
No.
I'm gonna say, it because he's been around for such a long time, I'm going to say it was like something national. I'm trying to think of a national news story that it would have been the death of JFK.
The assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
Wow.
So
yeah.
His first game was November 22nd, 1963. He was coaching for South Wayne, I believe it was. And it was called off until Tuesday because of the national mourning for the president.
Wow. Right. That puts it in perspective. And was he still coaching, Phil, or had he retired a year ago?
He retired in 2023.
Oh, 23, okay. All right.
From Cuba City, but he did help, I believe it was Galena. I think he was like an assistant or somebody that came on as a kind of a consultant for their team. So he was still around the game.
Wow, absolutely incredible. Zommers, we have time to get the clip in now or wait till after the break? All right. This is an interview Phil had with Coach Pettigrew back in 2018.
You know, I think the secret, Phil, is the passion and the desire, and you need someone to organize it, and then you'll be surprised the number of people that are willing to help, want to help, and you just get kids involved, and I think when that happens, you know, one of the things we got going for us in the game of basketball, what an enjoyable game to play, you know, and nothing greater, Phil, than to be in a regional final, conference championship, sectional final, state game. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
No,
so when you look at those kind of things, I think it's easy to get the kids involved and then having kids be willing to put in the time. And there's no, you know, it's nothing in the water out of Dickeyville or anything else. It's a case of being willing to put in the time.
Well, have kids changed since you started coaching in, you know, in some ways, or has it remained the same?
You know, Phil, that's one question that a lot of people have asked me. I think kids are still basically the same. They still have goals. They still have desires. They still want to succeed. I find this, and when people talk about the old days and comparing players, the players today are bigger, faster, stronger, and they're better. I would say about the only sport that I've seen that I haven't seen marked improvement over the years, and that's baseball. You know, baseball. But football, basketball, I would say the athletes, and obviously the way the girls have come by leaps and bounds, and you've got a tremendous program up there in Richland Center with Steve Board, and he runs it. And I think that's one of the secrets of success is finding a coach that's going to stay in a community because, you know, the shelf life of a coach in a community these days isn't all that long. And finding a coach that will stay, willing to build a program getting some parental involvement, positive parental involvement, and I think that's a formula for success.
That was an interview with Jerry Pettigrew. Phil, great job with that. Can you come back here after the break? We got about a two-minute break. Can you stick around?
No problem.
All right, stay tuned. Talk a little bit more with Phil Nee on his remembrances of now the late coach Jerry Pettigrew. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show here, and you're listening across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hear Mino and the Mayor weekday morning 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS. John and Jim are fans of Rebel Eddie's auto detailing, interior steam cleaning, graphene spray wax, even paint correction. Free estimates, 920-671-8984. RebelEddies.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Join us weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS, now brought to you by Pickle and Bag.
For your next group outing, visit pickleandbags.com.
Hometown Quick Lube in Manitowoc takes this time to say thank you to all of the brave men and women in the armed forces who've served our country. Business owners, consider hiring these veterans. They're our most dependable resource. To those heroes back home from missions abroad, know that your dedication, selflessness, and courage are appreciated. May God bless America. This from Hometown Quick Lube on North 10th Street in Manitowoc. Call 920-684-4550.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Saturday night, along with the Vinyl Varmints of Southwest Wisconsin, who invade the WRCO studios every Saturday night, 6 until midnight. Those were the days. It's a great program if you don't live in Southwest Wisconsin and able to hear it on WRCO FM 100.9 in Richland Center. You can listen to it on the Civic Media app at WRCO every Saturday night, 6 until midnight. He is also the station manager of WRCO, the voice of Ithaca and Richland Center and Riverdale and River Valley, and he also changes light bulbs. Our friend Phil Nee joins us on the phone live from Richland Center. Phil, you do it all.
You know what? I've never worked a day in my life, though. People say, oh, yeah, I have to go to work, and I say, nah, I get to go to work, right?
Right. You're 100% right, my friend. Welcome back to the All-Ball Show at Civic Media. It is now 23 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Talking to Phil here, that great interview. Thanks for letting us share that with our listeners, Phil. That it's in 2018 when you talked to the now late Coach Pettigrew of Cuba City, who passed away this weekend.
That's correct. And at the time, people every year would say, I wonder if Coach Pettigrew is coming back next year. I wonder if he's coming back, you know. And again, 60 years. I'm not sure that a coach starting out, and he alluded to that in that interview clip, the shelf life for a coach now is not that long. But not only a coach, he was a history teacher, too, and loved that teaching. So that old history teacher or math teacher, longtime coach, that just doesn't happen that much anymore.
It really doesn't, and I, in fact, just like last week, week before, I was talking to friends of mine, one who grew up in the Cuba City area, and said that, you know, his bat, it wasn't just the coaching of Coach Pettigrew, his involvement in the community, his basketball camps, the revenue it brought into the community. And he was, as you said, not just a coach, a teacher. And he was one of these people who just loved where he lived and gave back to his community.
He really did. I had an opportunity to have lunch with him some years ago and pick his brain a little bit. And while we were eating, he kept getting calls on his phone, and I forget which college it was in Wisconsin, but they had a coach, a job opening, and the college was calling him for advice.
Wow, that's fantastic. There's a story in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Dave Kalaman. If you haven't seen it, check it out. A great quote here by Coach Greg Gard, the Wisconsin Badgers, of course, who grew up in Cobb, not too far away, Iowa County, next door to Grant County. And this is the quote from Coach Gard. He says that, quote, "I'll get text from him late at night, or I'll see something that he tweeted about basketball," Gard said. And I'm like, "Coach, were you really watching an instructional video at 1 a.m. that you had to text me a question about?" But that seems to be the kind of guy that he was, always thinking, always coaching.
It sounds about right. The thing I will say, though, is it was all about discipline, and I'm not sure a coach starting out today could do some of the same things in terms of, he told me, no loud music in the locker room before the game.
Really?
You know, that's
really?
Yeah. And then another thing, he said, one of his best players ever, and this is back many years ago, but he said, "You need a haircut." And the kid said, "You know, I'm not going to get one." And he said, "He didn't play for me, you know."
Wow,
so
really?
I'm not sure if you can get away with those kind of things now, you know.
No, but, probably not.
But when you have a program that's proven and winning and people want to be a part of it, they will conform to just be a part of it, right?
Exactly right. No, I think everybody wants to be a winner. It feels good when you win. You learn life lessons along the way, even when you don't. But I think you're exactly right. I'm not sure it was just, I guess some of it was old-fashioned discipline. But to your point, I think he was just a very respected individual because he achieved success.
Right, exactly. The number of times I called games in the old Cuba City gym and the Jerry Pettigrew court, and again, it wasn't a station, or we weren't their station, their hometown station, but we were there several times a year. But I really can count on one hand the number of times one of the teams I was covering won, because when you did, it was like winning the state championship.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. And part of the reason that I wanted to lead off with this, because I do think it's a state story, because I don't care if you're not from Southwest Wisconsin, if you played basketball, or if you had a kid in basketball, or if you ever went to a state tournament all around Wisconsin, you say the name Jerry Pettigrew, and anybody involved in high school sports pretty much knows who this person was.
You're right, exactly. His camps, but plus he was on the WIA statewide television network for many years. If his team wasn't playing, he was one of the color commentating coaches.
Wow, just absolutely really, really incredible. Anything I haven't asked you yet, Phil, or you'd like to add about Coach Pettigrew or his passing?
I don't think so. Again, it's just it's a huge loss for basketball, and he was the man who led the WBCA, Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association, for years, and emceed their banquet and gave away a lot of things. And he gave me a Media Person of the Year award in 2018 or 19. And, you know, I mean, you get a call from Coach Pettigrew and saying you won an award, I mean, that's like a career thing for me, really.
Right. No, it really is. Well deserved, I might add. But, well, Phil, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day after you put in a full day already to come and chat with us, because as someone who I know worked around him and with him, so to speak, for a number of years, you really knew the guy. And thanks for sharing this. It means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to our audience as well.
No problem. I'll be on anytime. Next time we'll talk about music or whatever it was. I like that Jimi Hendrix intro, by the way. That was good.
Zomers is always on it. And what's the profile this week on Those Were the Days on Saturday night?
This week? Hold on a second.
All right, he's getting his notes. I should have cleared this.
We are doing groups named after cities, states, and continents.
Really?
So we have Boston, Berlin, Chicago, America, Kansas, Miami Sound Machine, Atlanta Rhythm Section, Nazareth, New York Dolls, Asia, Bay City Rollers, Black Oak, Arkansas, Europe, New York City, Ozark Mountain Daredevils, Ohio Players, LA Guns, Orleans, Toronto.
Very good. Well, that's great. We'll be listening. If we can't listen over the air, people can listen on the Civic Media app on WRCO. Thank you, Phil. Really appreciate it, my friend.
You bet. We'll talk
all right.
soon.
Talk to you later. Phil D, everybody. Glad to have him here. And don't forget, we're in the smack dab middle of our text to win contest here. Up for grabs this hour, a pair of Milwaukee Brewer tickets. Text the word FIRE, F-I-R-E, right now to the Civic Media app. FIRE, F-I-R-E. On the Civic Media app, giving away those Brewer tickets, two of them this hour, as well as eligible for two fantastic Wisconsin vacation getaways. Going to give it away at the end of this week. Stay tuned. Coming up next, State Senator Kelda Royce. What's happening up the street of the Capitol? It's the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You Make the Difference. That's the title of a national initiative launched by the International Association of Fairs and Expositions, having an impact on county fairs near you. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. That's right, the International Association of Fairs and Expositions working to try to help uncover the value that county fairs bring to their community. Jamie Butke, Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Fairs Association, says so far it's been well received in Wisconsin.
All 74 fairs of ours completed the information needed for the survey, and we turned around and offered a grant option for all of our fairs. We gave them a $1,000 grant. And they all submitted that so that they have the option to contact IFE. And if they want to purchase an economic impact study just on their fair, they could do that for $1,500. And we're, you know, covering the majority of the costs if they want to. And if not, then use it to update something else on your fairgrounds that can help you show what the economic impact is.
Jamie Butke, Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Fairs Association. Some of the takeaways from this You Make the Difference national initiative should help county fairs when it comes to finding that next volunteer or that next fundraising effort. They'll all come back together January of 2026 and share their notes.
They say seeing is believing, and nothing catches the eye like the 7 bushel per acre yield advantage of Veltima fungicide over other fungicides. But don't just take our word for it. See it for yourself. Run a comparison of Veltima fungicide, enter the Real Results Yield Challenge, and experience the difference it makes in your fields. And when you share your experience with us, you'll get a chance to win a 2-year lease on a new truck. Sign up at yieldchallenge.basf.us. No purchase necessary. See official rules for details. Always read and follow label directions.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And young farmers in Wisconsin face unique challenges, and they wanted to share their story. Last week, 24 of our Wisconsin young farmers under the age of 35 took time away from their farming operation to share their stories. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau's Young Farmer and Agriculturalist event had them speaking to legislative leaders as well as USDA staff. While there, they also made a trip to the Mexican embassy to talk about trade dynamics and Mexican markets. More details on that story and others available now. MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and cool today with high temperatures reaching the mid-60s and breezy winds out of the west and showers and some storms sparking up this afternoon. Otherwise, tomorrow, a high-pressure system moves in, giving us plenty of sunshine and warmer temperatures in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about couch potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, he hosts the Todd Alba Show, appropriately named, from 2 to 4 across the network. Todd Alba joins us after 9:30. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
People dream high in the quiet of the night, you know that I caught it.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, June 9th, 2025. Glad to have you along here. Don't forget our Text to Win contest is still going on here. Up for grabs this hour, a pair of Milwaukee Brewer tickets to our beautiful club-level seats at AM Fam Field. Was just there yesterday. Sadly, I could not get the Brewers a win, although I had nothing to do with it. But it's always a great time. You're sitting there right in the third base line. You can see right into the Brewers' dugout. They're beautiful seats, so don't miss out. You're only competing against people listening this hour. Text the word FIRE, F-I-R-E, FIRE, right now to the Civic Media app. Download it at your Apple or Android device. The first 11 stations are the ones that we're on. Open it up. Click text. And then text the word FIRE, F-I-R-E, right now to the Civic Media app to be eligible to win those two Milwaukee Brewer tickets free of charge. And everybody will be eligible then to win one of our two grand prizes, either a getaway to the Dells Baraboo area or the beautiful Door County area. And everybody is eligible for that. So text in FIRE, F-I-R-E, right now. Right now, our guest, as has been, we're honored to have her here every Monday through the Joint Finance Committee, i.e. the budget process, the senator here from the 26th District in the city of Madison, or parts of the city of Madison, State Senator Kelda Royce joins us. Senator Royce, how are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here again.
Always a pleasure to have you here on a Monday. I feel like, do you ever see the movie Groundhog with Bill Murray?
I feel very much like I've seen that movie and I'm living it. Right. Yeah.
She bought the t-shirt. And for those that don't, the movie is premised on Bill Murray's character wakes up in Punxsutawney. For the Groundhog Day. And he lives the same day over and over. I feel like every Monday we come on and I say, Senator, they haven't done anything yet.
Well, you know, to be fair, they haven't done anything yet for a long time,
right.
And they may well not do anything this week. I mean, I think we're going to be in on a few small agencies, but the reality is the Republicans are not making any progress on getting our budget done.
And for those who might not follow this day-to-day like nerds like I do, we're in the middle of our biennial, meaning every other year state budget process. Last check, we're at over a $4 billion surplus in this state. Senator Royce is one of four Democrats that sits on the committee. Republicans clearly control this. What we heard last week was a lot of talk from both the governor's office and the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee, as well as Speaker Voss, amongst others. He was on WISN television up front over the weekend talking a lot, and they're kind of both blaming each other for this so-called breakdown between negotiations and talks between the two. And now Speaker Voss is signaling the Republicans might just push forward essentially with their own bill. Have I got that about right?
I think that's about right. It's troubling to me when, you know, in previous years, we haven't had too many negotiations. I think the first two budgets under the current governor, there really were no negotiations. And now it seemed like there had been some productive movement over the last couple of months. The governor said, basically, I agreed to your tax cuts, your top priorities. And the Republicans wouldn't agree to the Democratic priorities, namely funding our schools, funding childcare, and funding higher ed.
Right before we went on the air, there's a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today by Anna Kleiber. By the way, congrats. I think she got her first front page story this weekend. So that's pretty cool for a journalist, for a
Absolutely.
Reporter. The headline says, Wisconsin bill would give state income tax deduction to educators for classroom expenses. And to summarize this, because my
most of my family have either been or are still currently educators in the public school systems in Wisconsin. And because funds are low in many districts across the state, because the state doesn't really properly fund public education, we have teachers who are spending their own money to buy classroom supplies. So this Republican-sponsored bill by Representative David Armstrong of Rice Lake says, well, he wants to give a $300 tax credit, essentially, to educators who spend their own money in the classroom. On the face of it, Senator Royce, you think, well, this is great. You're helping out educators. But then I have to ask the question, with $4 billion plus surplus, why aren't we just funding public schools correctly?
I think you hit it right on the head there, Todd, because the idea that teachers should have to buy school supplies for their students or supplement the classroom because, you know, we're not actually funding them as a state is it's emblematic of the kind of failure of government that we've seen over the last 15 years from the Republican majority here. Time and time again, no matter where you go in the state, and I travel all over the state, I knock on doors, I do radio shows like this, I do listening sessions. The number one issue I hear about is we want our kids to have great schools. We want better public education opportunities for our kids. And Republicans hear that too, and yet they will not fund it. Our kids have not gotten an inflationary increase in 15 years.
Why is it, and I'm not, maybe this is a rhetorical question, I don't know, I'm not expecting you to read other people's minds. But I guess I'll put it this way. I'm just kind of I'm literally at a loss for words when we just had our friend and colleague from Richland Center, Phil Neon, who covered Coach Jerry Pettigrew for years at Cuba City, the legendary winningest coach in Wisconsin basketball history, who just passed away over the weekend at 84, I believe. There are a few places you can go around the state. Anybody who has had a kid in basketball or ever and say Coach Pettigrew, and they not know who it is. Everybody in sports or high school sports knows who it is. My point is, so many of us around this state love to go to the high school football or basketball or whatever game or the forensics meet or the band concert. And our own personal, it's like, well, yeah, I want my school funded. But yet, why is it that Republicans are successful in their narrative to divide the state when it comes to other people's school districts?
But they're not even funding their own school districts. It is rural districts in Republican areas that in many ways suffer the most under these policies. You know, and even the, you know, quote unquote wealthier suburban schools that people think of, you know, these are the super high test scores. They've got beautiful buildings because those communities keep passing referendums to fund their schools. Even they are saying, we can't do this anymore. This isn't working. And the underfunding of schools isn't working for any kid in any district. And I think our kids are worth it. I think they are worth investing in and spending money on. And I don't understand the Republican politicians who ignore their own voters and say, nope, our kids are not worth it. Instead, we need more tax breaks for the wealthiest that have already gotten their public education and they're doing fine.
So what is it, in your opinion, as someone who's in the building, as we say, do you think the biggest breakdown is over K-12 funding that the governor wants and the Republicans on joint finance are just saying no? Is that really the biggest thing?
I don't know if the issue is K-12 or if they just said child care, forget it, we're not doing anything for early childhood, or if it's UW. But, you know, the reality is that our governor agreed to the Republican tax proposal and Republicans wouldn't agree to fund our kids. And, you know, we didn't even have a discussion about healthcare, right? About what we're going to do if hundreds of millions of dollars are cut from Medicaid, which would be a huge blow to our workforce, about the $2 billion that we're going to lose if we don't expand BadgerCare to save it this year, right? I think it's time to, if the Republicans are just going to walk away after months of negotiations, it's time to expand the playing field. Let's get bold and let's talk to constituents. Let's take it directly to them and say, listen, here's what we heard from you and here's what the Republicans want to do. None of it.
We're talking to State Senator Kelda Royce from the 26th District here in Dane County, mostly the city of Madison. And she is a member of the Joint Committee on Finance, the Budget Writing Committee here in the state legislature. Senator Royce, I again, as we look at this process, because, you know, we had something called a national election in between the last budget. So my mind is a little foggy. You were there. So help me remember a little bit here. As I recall, there were a few people in the Democratic Party or Democratic voters who are not necessarily happy with Governor Evers last time around because he signed a bill that included some things they didn't like. In my view, he made some concessions to Republicans to get a bill passed and say, look, this isn't perfect, but I'll sign it. Now, you know, he might have also got a little cute by half with his veto pen, which ticked off some Republican folks. But I guess what my point is, as I recall, last time around, Governor Evers wasn't a zero sum on this and saying it's 100% my way or no way. He was willing to negotiate.
Well, yeah. And I think he's always been willing to negotiate. The problem is the Republicans just keep calling his bluff, passing these, you know, horrible budgets that do not provide what our kids need and deserve. And they just bank on the governor being willing to sign it because he'd rather have a budget, even if it's a bad one, than no budget at all. And, you know, I think the question is, like, can we really afford that? Can our kids afford that? And especially the childcare industry, which the funds are running out on June 30th. We could see massive closures all across the state. You know, childcare counts, that program stopped the closures of childcare that we had been experiencing over the last several decades. And that program, those funds are going to go run out. And there's nothing on the horizon here.
I think that's a really good point to bring up because, again, people I talk to around the state, we take the show on the road. Other people, it's like, Todd, we're tuning this out. We can't dial in all the time. We get depressed. I get that. Believe me. But I think you raising this again, because I think people are like, well, you know, it's just politicians. My child care is always going to be there. It's not alarmist, is it, to say, no, it's not, actually.
It's absolutely not. I mean, talk to your child care providers.
Right.
And by the way, is your child care affordable? Do you feel like it's a reasonable amount of money? You're paying more for your kid to go to child care than to go to college. You're paying more for child care than you do for your mortgage or your rent. I think anybody with a kid in child care knows that it's, you know, it's a massive amount of money. And it's absolutely necessary for your family's economic stability, right? Mm-hmm. And if we lose that, parents are going to drop out of the workforce and we are going to feel it economically everywhere in our state, in every community.
And again, just to remind folks and keep me honest here, part of the urgency of what you just said is because these federal dollars that were implemented during COVID, the pandemic, have run out. They're not going to be, can't rely on that anymore. And so the choice is either A, the state has to step up and fill that gap, or B, nothing's going to happen, as you said. And we are literally going to, I know the term is overused these days, but we really are, in my view, going to have child care facilities close.
Right. That's right. And that's because it is too expensive to provide the kind of intensive care that you need. You can't have one adult and 30 toddlers in a classroom.
Right.
It is high skill work. You know, a lot of people in early childhood, they have an associate's degree. They have extensive training. They have a bachelor's degree. Many have master's degrees. And yet they are making poverty wages, right? The average wage is about $13 an hour. And why? Because that's all that child care centers can afford to pay. It's all that parents can afford to pay. And already it's out of reach for many families, or they're struggling and scraping and, you know, not doing other things so that they can afford for their kids to be in child care.
And again, for people not like you or I who follow this stuff all the time, who say, well, I guess, well, is the government going to shut down? No. But in the state of Wisconsin, if there is no budget, if the Republicans pass something out of joint finance and the governor either vetoes it or whatever, we just keep state government keeps working, but at the previous budget, correct?
Right, exactly. We go back to 2023 levels. And obviously, we all know the cost of living has gone way up since 2023. We had an election about it. And in fact, instead of actually addressing inflation, we've got a Republican regime in Washington that's actually making that problem worse, right? So the costs are going to continue to go up, and yet our state government's not going to be able to meet those costs.
And those monies from the last budget do not cover, again, the child care. So just doing nothing also doesn't help. Those child care facilities shut down.
Right.
So I know you don't have a crystal ball, but about a minute here before the first break, do you have a sense there's any hope of any way to get the two sides together, or is this just going to be the Republican budget and the governor has to decide whether to line item veto or veto the whole thing?
Well, you know, my hope is the apparent dysfunction in the Senate Republican caucus. I sort of think that they don't have a path to 17 in that caucus. That's how much they need to pass a budget. And in that case, maybe they will come to the Democrats, and we're here. We're ready. Open arms.
Speaking of the Democrats, they have something called a state convention this weekend. Maybe we'll talk a little politics on the other side Senator Royce as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbull Show on Civic Media.
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info at WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may have filled out a U.S. Census questionnaire which promised to keep your individual data private. There's concern the Trump administration or Congress may add a question about your citizenship in the 2030 census. Would you answer it? Since 1790, the U.S. has counted the, quote, whole number of free persons, not just citizens. The census has always promised anonymity to get accurate answers, and that data informs important decisions on everything from road construction to education policy to voting districts. The first Trump administration tried to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, but it was struck down by the Supreme Court. Trump later issued an executive order entitled Executive Order on Collecting Information About Citizenship Status in Connection with the Decennial Census, a precursor to possibly not counting the whole population, but just citizens. The Biden administration rescinded it, but Trump rolled back Biden's order in January. If a citizenship question were to be added in the 2030 census, a study released in March found it would likely depress response to the questionnaire, particularly among Hispanics. Add in Trump's recent orders allowing the sharing of personal information from federal agencies with DOGE, ICE, and state agencies, the effect on the census would impact policies and congressional voting districts for years to come. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I know I'd go from rags to riches.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, coming up at hour 2. Little, what's worse for you today, forgetting a birthday or forgetting an anniversary? Here joining us at the table right now, though, State Senator Kel Royce, Democrat from the 26th District here in Dane County, who sits on the Joint Finance Committee. Senator, any thoughts on that? What's worse, birthday or anniversary?
Boy, you know, I think probably anniversary, but honestly, there's really not an excuse for missing it these days, right? We all carry around these little tracking devices in our pockets.
I don't say it till late. We're discussing this in the morning meeting, and I said, I don't know, it's not even close for me. It's birthday. And yeah. Luke Mathers says, so says the single man.
I'd like to take this opportunity to say happy anniversary to my spouse. this week is our wedding anniversary.
Really? This week?
Yeah.
Well, timely indeed.
Indeed, yeah.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, let's get into something because we'll see what happens this week with the Joint Finance Committee. Hopefully they get off their keister and actually try to do something. And you're coming back next Monday and talk more about
that. I'm here, man. I'm ready to work.
I know you are. I love that. I love that about you. We weren't going to talk about this initially, but we were talking over the break and you said, sure, let's do it.
because you have something in the works to address this. My sister is driving down from Eau Claire this week. We met in Richland Center, and she says, I'm at the Quick Trip in Sparta, and there is a 12-deep line at the ATM and this Bitcoin machine. Oh, and yeah. And I said, this is crazy. I've seen this a little bit. Explain what this is and what you're doing to address it.
So functionally, this is a way to get ordinary people to put their money into crypto so that it can be stolen by fraudsters and scammers. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of the Wild West, right? There has been minimal regulation in Wisconsin. States are starting to take action, but it's, you know, it's kind of like whack-a-mole. I'm hearing from law enforcement about people who are losing their savings, and before they even realize they've been scammed, the money has been transferred to a third party, say, you know, anonymous crypto wallet somewhere in another country.
It's just tremendously sad to me because, and again, nobody's breaking law, I don't believe, to have these machines there, but to have them right next to an ATM. So someone takes out their hard-earned cash or retired folks on a fixed income, and then they feed it into a crypto buying Bitcoin machine, whatever it is. And they've heard on some program, this is how you're going to get rich, and then it's gone.
Right. Well, and the purpose of crypto is that it's totally anonymous. It's untraceable. And so if you're a criminal and you previously had to scam people out of their money by getting access to their bank account or their credit card, there are mechanisms in place because these are regulated money transfers, right? Mm-hmm. They're regulated at the federal and the state level because we don't want people laundering money. We don't want criminals to crime. And crypto, these ATMs really facilitate these kind of financial scams. And, you know, fortunately, the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institution has just put out some very good recommendations and regulations, actually, to try to get these under control, requiring registration, posting a warning that says, hey, man, this could be a scam. If somebody you don't know is trying to get your money, it is almost certainly a scam. But we need state laws on the books. And I've got a bill in drafting that I'm working on to limit the amount of money and put in a holding period so that, you know, you can transfer money, but not more than $1,000 a day. So you're not going to lose your whole retirement savings.
I mean, I don't have $1,000.
Right. I mean, for some people, wow. that could be their whole savings, right? Yeah. And then to say there's got to be a holding period. So like, if you have a big check that you're depositing, the bank will put a hold on it to make sure that the funds are actually there, right? That the check is real. And we should be able to do the same thing with crypto. So that you get home, you have a conversation with your, adult daughter, and your daughter says, oh, God, Dad, I think that was a scam. And you say, oh, gosh. And then you can call law enforcement. They've got time to get that money back before it's spirited away to some criminal's crypto wallet.
And I don't know for sure, but I used to manage a business that had an ATM machine. And usually the business gets a percentage of the transaction. That's how they make money, mm-hmm. these things. I got to believe it's somewhat similar with these crypto Bitcoin machines.
Absolutely. It's like a race to get these things in here because it's a essentially painless way to get a little bit of money in the door.
It's tremendously sad to me, and I feel the same way about it that I do with any gambling or Vegas or slot machine, whatever it is. Don't ever put money in there that you can't afford to lose. Whatever your play money is for the week, $20 or it's $200 or I guess maybe some people have $1,000, but don't if you can't afford to lose it, don't put it in there. That's me.
I think that's a really good practice, but at least with gambling, you're getting the excitement or the thrill of the actual game, and with crypto, what you're getting in many cases is you're just facilitating crime, right? It's money laundering. It's, buying things that it's not legal to buy. And in most cases, it's essentially civilians getting scammed.
It really, I know there's a lot of conservative or right-leaning media who pushes this stuff, but honestly, it's on the left too. And I mean, I've heard it advertised, correct me if I'm wrong, Zomers, but Hartman has an advertisement, right, for crypto or something like
sure
that?
Sure does.
Oh, crypto. I mean, they'll advertise anywhere, right? It's like cigarettes, right? They don't care who takes their product.
I think you're not a direct analogy, but I think people, everybody like wants to think they can make money easier than working harder. And so you hear these advertisements or whatever, and there's always going to be one or two gals or guys that make it big, right? And then they think, oh, if I put my money in there, I'm going to make all this money. And it ain't happening.
It is functionally, in many ways, a pyramid scheme, right?
Right.
I mean, that relies on people getting naive new people in to pump up the price so that you can sell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's kind of the best case scenario, right? The worst case scenario is you just basically have fallen victim to a scam and sent your money to somebody in another country.
I'm so thankful to hear that you're on top of this. I didn't know that till our conversation today. I appreciate that because I think this is based on my own family member seeing this happen. I mean, yeah. People are putting a lot of money into this right now across Wisconsin, and it needs to be regulated and people need to be warned.
Absolutely. I mean, we have so many ways to transfer money in this modern era, thank goodness, but they're all regulated and crypto should not be exempt.
Agreed. One person you can always take to the bank, that is State Senator Kelda Royce. She is here on Monday's Joint Finance Committee. Thank you, Senator. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
We'll see you next Monday. Stay tuned next. What's worse and some political headlines. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show for a Monday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Text the word FIRE, F-I-R-E, right now.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ahead of a roundtable at the White House, President Trump commented on the escalating protests in Los Angeles over the weekend over federal immigration arrests. The president crediting National Guard members he deployed for quelling the violence.
Wonderful National Guard. They've really helped and a lot of problems that we're having out there.
California's Governor Gavin Newsom says the president overstepped his authority by mobilizing National Guard troops and created a worse situation. The state now suing the Trump administration. More protests meantime over the ICE arrests taking place in L.A. today. Russia launching a record number of aerial drone and missile strikes across Ukraine overnight, including the capital. That caused Polish and allied planes to scramble briefly over Poland's airspace. And word today, funk legend Sly Stone has died. Best known as the frontman for Sly and the Family Stone with hits like Dance to the Music. His family says he battled COPD and other health issues. Sly Stone was 82. This is ABC News.